This show furnished by Dual Diagnosis Treatment Center.
Good evening and welcome to In Your Right Mind, a weekly radio show that discusses an array of behavioral health issues. We all have issues, so let's start talking. My name is Stephanie Wilder Taylor.
And I'm Dr. Tanmoy Sharma.
This evening, we're going to talk about pharmacogenetic testing, what it is, why it's used, how it can help healthcare providers to determine how a person will respond to a particular drug or medication.
So whilst we have some types of genetic tests that have been around for decades and are fairly common, for example, paternity tests or prenatal testing for certain heritable conditions, a particular form of genetic testing is used to improve efficacy, that is the effect of the drug, and reduce the adverse effects of medications. This is, you know, called pharmacogenetic testing. And only recently has it grown in popularity in the treatment of psychiatric conditions.
So this evening, we're joined by Dr. Jay Lombard, an internationally acclaimed neurologist, author, and keynote speaker. Dr. Lombard is the co-founder, chief scientific officer, and medical director at Genomind, a medicine company that utilizes genetic testing to improve neuropsychiatric conditions, including depression, Alzheimer's, and autism, and the clinical director of neuroscience at Lifespan Medicine.
And also joining us today is Dr. Stephen M. Stahl, an internationally renowned psychiatrist and a wonderful researcher and a professor of psychiatry with expertise in psychopharmacology. Dr. Stahl is an adjunct professor of psychiatry at the University of California, San Diego, an honorary visiting fellow at the University of Cambridge in the UK, and practicing psychiatrist in Carlsbad, California. Dr. Stahl has written wonderful textbooks on psychopharmacology, translated into many languages, and he's a superstar in the psychiatry community. So welcome, both of you, and thank you for being with us this evening.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So many people might not even know what genetic testing is or why it's used, especially when it's used for prescribing drugs. Can you explain to our listeners what pharmacogenetic testing is and how it's used in the treatment of psychiatric conditions today, Dr. Lombard?
Sure. So first of all, thank you for having me on the show. Just one quick correction. I'm actually not at Lifespan Medicine, which is a practice in L.A., but that's okay. I do want to answer your question, which is a very important question, and that is, you know, what is the state of psychopharmacology today and how genetic testing can actually improve sort of psychopharmacology? So first of all, the bad news is that there are a lot of people who are not experiencing any relief from any of the medications that they're being prescribed, not only by psychiatrists, but people who are very poorly trained in psychopharmacology who are making those initial medication choices. And I want to, you know, really acknowledge Dr. Stahl, because he has been probably the world's leading expert in training psychiatrists on proper psychopharmacology, because these medications are very, very profoundly altering one's brain chemistry. And unless we understand specifically how those drugs alter one's brain chemistry and how genetics plays a role in the efficacy of those drugs, but also in their likelihood of producing very severe side effects that may otherwise go unrecognized. So the state of affairs in psychiatry is not good, but we have people who are visionaries like Dr. Stahl who are helping to actually, you know, educate psychiatrists on how to properly use these medications.
Dr. Stahl, your thoughts?
Dr. Stahl? I think we lost Dr.
Yes.
Stahl. Oh,
is
that, are you here?
No. Yeah, I didn't hear me, sorry.
Oh.
I guess one of the ways to respond is that psychiatry is a specialty that's a combination of art and science. And the art part of it is doing descriptive diagnoses, and out of the many medications available for, let's say, depression, choosing one. The science is really trying to figure out what is personalized to the specific patient in front of you. And that's done by getting some specific information about the family history or about its the specific side effects that the person may have had with other drugs or responses that are good from other drugs, also the specific history, but finally getting some idea of the biology of that specific patient and most notably the genes that control responses to medicines in psychiatry. So that's what we're trying to do, is to get specific tailor-made information about an individual patient. You might call it personalized medicine.
Right.
And to do that, to help us choose which drug to use and which drug not to use.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In Your Right Mind, brought to you by Sovereign Health, and we're speaking with Dr. Jay Lombard and Dr. Stephen M. Stahl about what pharmacogenetic testing is and why it's used. And how exactly does the information provided by these tests help you figure out the best treatment decisions for patients? Either one.
Go ahead, Jay.
Yes, thanks, Dr. Stahl. I actually would prefer that Dr. Stahl answer the question, but I'll just tune it up a little bit. I think that the major benefit of genetic testing in psychiatry, as far as the idea of personalized medicine, is first and foremost to understand that these medications, when not used properly, can produce very significant adverse effects. And we're talking about adverse effects that really span sort of the both psychiatric realm and also physical realm, meaning that some of the drug effects of commonly used psychotropic drugs produce serious medical conditions such as metabolic syndrome, obesity, an increased risk of cardiovascular disease. So I think we first need to be cognizant of the fact that these medications are not as safe as one would normally assume that they are, and that, you know, doing biological testing on a case-by-case basis helps the clinician have a higher sense of vigilance about avoiding those side effects, because, remember, the first thing that we do in medicine is first do no harm. And I'll then let the more detailed explanation of that question go to one of the world's greatest psychopharmacologists, who I'm sort of intimidated being on the call with, because he's so much more knowledgeable about this than I am. But I want to just get that in there as a high-level purpose for personalized medicine, is to avoid the untoward side effects that these drugs have in many, many patients. So, Dr. Stahl, I'll turn it over to you.
Well, that was a great entree into the answer to the question. I think the listener should realize that genetic testing in psychiatry is not going to be a yes-no type of thing. First of all, it's not for diagnoses. And second of all, it just changes the odds that you either will respond to a medicine or that you will tolerate medicine. It doesn't say with great certainty for sure you need to take this medicine, it'll always work, or it will never work. The idea is that we balance the weight of the evidence, and that's where I got to before, you know, using science and art. We get a feeling for intuitively what a patient needs, but then the science helps balance that and weigh it. So among many options, if you have a test that says it's a more likely that you're going to respond to something or tolerate it, why wouldn't you use the medication that's indicated that way? So that's the idea, is it's called the weight of the evidence is changed by genetic testing in psychiatry. It doesn't tell you exactly what to do. It's not exactly take this test.
So let's say somebody comes. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
So let's say somebody comes in and they have depression. They've been suffering from depression for a number of years. Would this be the kind of thing that before even trying any medication, you would want to have them take this test so that you could decide which medication would be appropriate for that patient?
Yes, ultimately. But right now, I think the idea is that a lot of patients will respond to a simple generic antidepressant given more or less sort of blindly. You would call this maybe, if you will, the tyranny of the median patient. I sometimes say that, which is that if you do trials in large populations, you say that the average patient gets better on several of these medications, so you don't need the test. The problem really comes for sure when you failed medicines once or twice or three times, they didn't work, or you had a side effect. Ultimately, I think we will get these tests in advance, but I think they're most useful at this point when you're having trouble and having failures and having difficulties. Because what it does, it takes the ability of a doctor to sharpen his or her focus and make better decisions and weigh the evidence so that you don't keep on making bad decisions about drugs that either don't work or cause side effects.
Right, right.
So that's the way in which it's used, is really when people fail right now.
We need to go to a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk so much more about this. I have a lot of questions, Dr. Sharma. We're speaking with Dr. Jay Lombard and Dr. Stephen Stahl about the benefits of genetic testing. You're listening to In Your Right Mind, brought to you by Sovereign Health. We will be right back.
Don't lose sight on finding the best help for your son or daughter.
It was impossible, it seemed, to have him at home. We didn't know what to do. We were at a loss.
Sovereign Health's adolescent program offers treatment for males and females of ages 12 through 17 struggling with addiction, mental health, and co-occurring conditions.
Someone recommended Sovereign Health. We went down there and met the people, and that's what really did it for me. Everybody there seemed really not just kind. They didn't seem like they were there just punching the clock. They seemed like they were really caring about him. They cared about the dilemma that we were in.
Let us help you and your family heal in a safe, nurturing environment with an individualized treatment plan that has unique qualities and meets your loved one's treatment needs. Call Sovereign Health at 866-224-7297. That's 866-224-7297. Or visit us online at sovhealth.com. Nearly half of all Americans experience at least one mental illness at some point in their lives. Sovereign Health offers treatment programs for a large spectrum of issues, including depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, post-traumatic stress disorder, and eating disorders. Let us help you heal in a safe, nurturing environment with an individualized treatment plan that has your unique qualities and meets your treatment needs. Call Sovereign Health at 866-764-6570. That's 866-764-6570. Or visit us online at sovhealth.com. Want to get the latest information regarding mental illnesses, substance abuse, or more? Get hooked on Hook Sober, a group of sobers who have been hooked on updating you with the latest trends regarding behavioral health and addiction. Want to check them out? Just go to hooksober.com. That's HOOKEDSOBER.com. And get hooked, because recovery is possible in all cases.
News, talk, evolve. KABC.
Welcome back to In Your Right Mind with Dr. Tanmoy Sharma. I'm Stephanie Wilder Taylor. We've been talking with Dr. Jay Lombard, the co-founder of GenoMind, and Dr. Stephen Stahl, an internationally renowned psychiatrist.
I was wondering if our listeners would benefit from knowing what is done in pharmacogenetic testing, that it's really not a very complicated procedure. So maybe Dr. Lombard, since you have a lab, you could start with that.
Sure, thank you. So there are very easy ways of actually having one's genetic data related to drug metabolism through a saliva test. And, the simplicity of that is that, many psychiatrists, they're not part of sort of the institution of medicine. Many times they are sort of out in the field, if you will, without the help of the, ancillary medical people that, normally draw blood and use diagnostics that way. So the good news about this is it's so simple. It's literally a saliva-based test that can be obtained through, you know, one's, you know, visit with the psychiatrist so that there's not any difficulty getting the material that will ultimately be analyzed by a lab that helps determine which particular genes may or may not be inherited that are going to likely affect metabolism of those drugs.
Okay, good. So, Dr. Stahl, what is, in your view, and you speak to so many psychiatrists around the world, especially in the U.S., in your view, what is the perception of psychiatrists about pharmacogenetic testing? Do they think of this as a, well, nice add-on, but not much use for my practice, or are people warming up to it?
I would say it's on the turbulent edge between research and clinical practice.
Right.
You have people who are early initiators, and you have people who are late skeptics. The early initiators are most enthusiastic about the ability of the test to show how you actually metabolize a medication. If you have a different liver than I do, you will have a lower amount in your blood than I will.
Right.
That is very useful, and that can be very well found right now, and that's pretty much standard practice at this point. If someone has a funny blood level, too high or too low, getting pharmacogenomic testing of what we call pharmacokinetic variables, the various basically metabolizing drug enzymes in the liver, if you know what those are, you can predict what the blood level will be, and you can adjust the dose. So that's kind of practice.
So it allows you to, as you mentioned earlier on, it allows you to personalize the treatment. So that's why, you know, hence it's called personalized medicine. And in your experience, there are certain enzymes that are responsible for metabolism of these drugs, and we could either, or somebody could metabolize these drugs really quickly or very slowly, and so blood levels would be dependent on that?
Absolutely, and in fact, sometimes we get blood levels as well as genomic testing. So the idea is that, you know, the average patient is average blood metabolism, but the problems in psychiatry practice are the non-average patients. People who come to me don't come to me because things are easy or things are working out well. They come because they have problems with either tolerating or responding to medications. So that's the signal. You've got to look more personally into that patient, and the place to start is exactly how do they metabolize the drug. You know, if you don't have enough in your blood, it's not going to work. So if there's problems that you can find out and predict and understand why somebody doesn't get enough drug in, then you're either going to choose a drug that bypasses those unique aspects in that patient, or you raise the dose.
Right.
And so that's how you customize treatment.
And I would say the other side of the spectrum of that, though, is the opposite problem, which is that a very significant number of patients are inadequately metabolizing the drug, which is leading to higher blood levels of the drug. And for many of these drugs, those higher blood levels are actually, you know, literally toxic to the brain. They produce, you know, significant side effects that very often, unfortunately, go unrecognized as being related to the drug itself. So there are many SSRIs, for instance, that have adverse effects that look like the psychiatric problem, but are actually related to the drug itself. So the ability to determine whether a side effect is actually drug-induced or it's due to actually the primary underlying problem is very difficult for a psychiatrist to sometimes sort out.
Right.
And that's where genetic testing is so helpful.
If you're just tuning in right now, you're listening to In Your Right Mind, brought to you by Sovereign Health, and we're speaking with Dr. Jay Lombard and Dr. Stephen Stahl about the benefits of pharmacogenetic testing. So some of those side effects can actually seem like the reason why you came in to get treated in the first place, and this can help eliminate that and help you figure out what medicine you should be using and whether or not you're just experiencing side effects. I have a friend who, let me ask you this. I have a friend who suffers from bipolar disorder, and she has been on countless medications for the past 20 years. Different ones cause different side effects, which she would probably be a good candidate for this kind of testing, right? I mean, is this something that that I should tell my friend who suffered from so many different side effects from so many different drugs and been on drugs that she's concerned about, you know, having irreversible effects like liver damage and stuff like that? Is this something that a person can go and say to their doctor, I would like to get this kind of testing done?
The short answer is yes.
So as a corollary to that, can you describe the ideal candidate or the ideal patient or the most commonly occurring patient that we should think about pharmacogenetic testing?
Well, I think Dr. Stoll already said that, which is, look, if it's not broke, don't fix it, right? If somebody's doing well on medication, the last thing that you want to do is put noise in the system and, you know, take them off of a medication that otherwise may be working fine. So it's really, you know, the value of genetic testing in psychiatry or any area of medicine for that matter, but especially in psychiatry, are for people who are not responding, right? So unfortunately, this lack of response is the norm, not the exception, in psychopharmacology. I mean, the bad news, guys, is that the majority of patients who end up getting a medication prescribed for whatever their psychiatric diagnosis is do not have a satisfactory response to those medications. And that's a big, big deal in psychiatry. We call it treatment resistance. So the description of your friend, bipolar, is exactly similar to sort of the norm, not the exception, in psychiatry.
Right. So a person like my friend should go into their psychiatrist and say, I've been having all these different side effects to all these different medications. I still haven't found the perfect one. I would like to get some genetic testing done. Is it at that stage yet?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. So this is something that your average person can ask for, and then it is up to their doctor to determine whether they can have access to it?
If they're not doing well a medication, the answer is yes.
One thing to remember is I always tell my patients it's a pretty good idea to get a copy of the test themselves, because this is kind of an unusual test that you're not used to seeing, in the sense that if you get a blood count, that can change from one day to the next. If you get your cholesterol, that can change. But guess what? Your genes never change. And you can't change your mother or your grandmother, so you can't change your genes. So the issue is that what we know about these genes will change, but the genes won't. So if you have your own test, there may be more and more we know about the significance of your specific genes over time. And you'd never have to repeat that gene test, because it'll be the same for the rest of your life. So that's a little bit different, and a little bit different use of that.
Right.
Now, we believe that it helps change the balance of the evidence so you can make better informed treatment decisions, including for your friend. But your friend probably has got a long life ahead of him or her, and knowing these tests and taking it from one doctor to the next, since we often change doctors, is a really good idea.
Got it. Well, we need to go to a quick break, but when we come back, we'll talk way more about this with Dr. Jay Lombard and Dr. Stephen Stahl. You're listening to In Your Right Mind, brought to you by Sovereign Health. We'll be right back.
Nearly half of all Americans experience at least one mental illness at some point in their lives. Sovereign Health offers treatment programs for a large spectrum of issues, including depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, post-traumatic stress disorder, and eating disorders. Let us help you heal in a safe, nurturing environment with an individualized treatment plan that has your unique qualities and meets your treatment needs. Call Sovereign Health at 866-764-6570. That's 866-764-6570. Or visit us online at sovhealth.com. Don't lose sight on finding the best help for your son or daughter.
It was impossible, it seemed, to have him at home. We didn't know what to do. We were at a loss.
Sovereign Health's adolescent program offers treatment for males and females of ages 12 through 17 struggling with addiction, mental health, and co-occurring conditions.
Someone recommended Sovereign Health. We went down there and met the people, and that's what really did it for me. Everybody there seemed really not just kind. They didn't seem like they were there just punching the clock. They seemed like they were really caring about him. They cared about the dilemma that we were in.
Let us help you and your family heal in a safe, nurturing environment with an individualized treatment plan that has unique qualities and meets your loved one's treatment needs. Call Sovereign Health at 866-224-7297. That's 866-224-7297. Or visit us online at sovhealth.com. Roughly 100 million Americans suffer from chronic pain. This problem is not only excruciating, but it also takes a hit on the individual's relationships with others. Here at Sovereign Health's Chronic Pain Program, our experts target and treat the underlying causes of the problem, while also helping our patients discover the best pain reduction methods that work for them. Let us help you heal. Call Sovereign Health at 866-764-6570. That's 866-764-6570. Or visit us online at sovhealth.com.
Talk Radio 790, KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. Alabama Republican Senate candidate Roy Moore called claims that he committed sexual misconduct decades ago completely false and untrue. Here's what one Alabama resident said.
Roy Moore is my friend. I'm a Democrat. I'm not going to vote for him because I'm a Democrat. But I've known him a long, long time. The thing that bothers me about those charges is that he's been in public life, running for many offices, and as many times as this happened, no one's ever said anything till now.
Longtime gossip columnist Liz Smith, who started her column at the New York Daily News in 1976, has died. She was 94. Known affectionately as the Grand Dame of Dish, Smith's legendary work included a chronicle of Donald and Ivana Trump's divorce, which made front page news. KABC SoCal weather, partly cloudy tonight with lows in the mid-50s to around 60. More news coming up and continuous coverage on KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
Wake up with Doug McIntyre in the morning.
I had a dog that I'm pretty sure judged me.
Well, Swiftie would see you smoking cigarettes in the shower and be like, really?
Yeah. That's absolutely true.
Come on, Dad.
By the way, I never smoked a cigarette in the shower. I would get out of the shower.
And light up?
With shampoo running, coursing down my sculpted naked body.
Gosh.
Light up sculpted. A cigarette, take a hit off the cigarette, then get back in the shower. What's wrong with that?
Everything.
Wow.
McIntyre in the morning.
Now,
welcome back
Leanne
to In Your Right Mind with Dr. Tanmoy Sharma. I'm Stephanie Wilder Taylor. We've been talking to Dr. Jay Lombard, the co-founder of Genomind, and Dr. Stephen Stahl, an internationally renowned psychiatrist, about pharmacogenetic testing.
So in July of 2015, the American Academy of Pediatrics ethical and policy issue for genetic testing in children. And the Academy released a position statement, and along with the American Society of Human Genetics and the American College of Medical Genetics, well, it's a mouthful, they stated that pharmacogenetic testing in children can be justified to alleviate substantial psychosocial distress. It has the potential to improve drug efficacy and reduce adverse events, and is acceptable when used for therapeutic purposes with permission of parents and guardians and the child's assent where appropriate. So moving on from the adult to the adolescent population, if you like, is it any different in children and adolescents versus
adults? That's a fantastic question. And by the way, I am very much, relieved to hear that that's a position by experts in this area, because even the FDA has, issued warnings about many drugs that children are being exposed to in terms of their potential toxicity, and even, increasing or exacerbating an underlying psychiatric issue when not used properly. So the most vulnerable patients to psychopharmacology are really twofold. One are children, and the other are elderly, for different reasons. For children, it's because so much of their development is the maturation of the brain is, a dynamic process. And as a neurologist, we know that experience is the most valuable psychotherapeutic intervention as opposed to medication. So the ability to have a test that allows the clinician to say, look, your child is at higher risk of developing a serious adverse drug effect from these medications, will tilt the balance to the art of psychopharmacology, which Dr. Stahl has been speaking to, because in those situations, it is so essential to have that art understood properly, which is that a developing brain is very different than an adult brain. Their response to medications are very different, and the change in the psychiatric phenotype itself changes over time based upon developmental issues. So for autism or Asperger's or ADHD, which are conditions that many people treat with psychopharmacology, the benefit of using genetic testing is to kind of raise the bar of the level of skill required to be able to use those medications properly and be educated properly on their use through people like Dr. Stahl, who, are training, the future generation of psychopharmacologists as we speak. So I'm actually relieved that these, huge academies have made those statements, because, quite frankly, I would also like to hear that from the American Psychiatric Association. I'll be very blunt. I think that if other outside parties are making that kind of assessment of the value, then why is the APA itself not making the same statement? But anyway, that's a whole separate conversation, but I'm going to hand it over to Dr. Stahl.
Dr. Stahl, adolescence and pharmacogenetic testing, your thoughts?
Well, you always have to be more cautious and careful with children, no matter what you do, any diagnostic procedure, any medical intervention, certainly medications. And if there's one place you certainly don't want to be shooting in the dark, it's with kids.
Yes.
And so, I hate to say it, but often the way in which the art of medicine is by hunches. And that might be okay when you have a disorder that's pretty well clarified and it's in adults and you have some idea of medications, how it's going to work. That's also pretty well worked out. But in a child, we often don't do very many medication tests in them. And they often get retrofitted with medicines based upon what we know in adults. I do agree with what Dr. Lombard said, which is that if it can help you choose a medication, either maybe not giving one at all or giving the right side effects and enhance the chance of somebody getting a good therapeutic effect, then we should use these tests.
If you're just tuning in right now, you're listening to In Your Right Mind. It's brought to you by Sovereign Health. We're speaking to Dr. Jay Lombard and Dr. Stephen Stahl about pharmacogenetic testing in children right now. And let me ask you this. You were talking earlier about when an adult comes in who maybe has depression, that normally we would just give a drug that generally works, and maybe it's not necessary to test every person who comes in with, you know, depression before giving them a drug. But so are you suggesting that in children it's more important to give these tests before any drug? Like, for instance, if I may talk about myself, my child was just given a drug that's primarily given to kids with ADHD, but it's not for that use. But that would be a pharmacological drug that should I have insisted that my kid get testing beforehand?
Well, there are areas where the testing is more useful and areas where it's still more research. The most useful place might be in the mood disorders, depression and bipolar disorder. Things like ADHD tests are coming along. Things like, psychosis tests are coming along. But there's a sort of a spectrum of how useful these tests are right this afternoon with our current state of our knowledge. So in the case of an ADHD medication, the idea is to make sure that this is maybe, quote, off-label. You know what that term means? It means if you're using, in your case, a medicine approved for ADHD, but for some other reason, there's even less information about whether the drug works. And I think the place to start maybe not be pharmacogenomic testing, but with the general state of the affairs where you really are careful about what is known about that medicine in that type of child with that kind of disorder at that age, both the therapeutic effects and the side effects, not just extrapolated from adults. And then, of course, you can look at the portfolio of available tests, and in some cases, particularly in the mood disorders, get those tests. In other disorders, maybe you might get them, but what they would tell you is less certain.
Yeah, if I can add to that, sort of my clinical hat for 1 second and not my research hat, because when I was in practice as a neurologist, I had the opportunity to see many, many children with dual diagnoses or like three diagnoses where they had developmental delay, which is a wastebasket term, in my opinion, attention deficit disorder, and this question about pediatric bipolar disease, which, you know, there's a whole controversy about whether that was being an overdiagnosed syndrome or really truly existed. And there was, you know, a lot of debate about that. But the reality is that these children are, you know, they present with a much more complex phenotype or symptoms, if you will, than an adult does, because there's so much different variables go into a behavioral issue. So the most complicated issue for a psychopharmacologist or a psychiatrist in seeing these children is to differentiate between what's a mood disorder and what's an attentional disorder, or in other words, what's ADD and what's an affective component, like Dr. Stoll was alluding to, where you can see the same symptoms, but the biological origins of those symptoms are quite different. And because the biological origins of those symptoms are quite different, the treatment is also very different.
Right, right. Well, we need to take one more break, but when we come back, we'll talk a lot more about this with Dr. Jay Lombard and Dr. Stephen Stahl. You're listening to In Your Right Mind, brought to you by Sovereign Health. We'll be right back.
Don't lose sight on finding the best help for your son or daughter.
It was impossible, it seemed, to have him at home. We didn't know what to do. We were at a loss.
Sovereign Health's adolescent program offers treatment for males and females of ages 12 through 17 struggling with addiction, mental health, and co-occurring conditions.
Someone recommended Sovereign Health. We went down there and met the people, and that's what really did it for me. Everybody there seemed really not just kind. They didn't seem like they were there just punching the clock. They seemed like they were really caring about him. They cared about the dilemma that we were in.
Let us help you and your family heal in a safe, nurturing environment with an individualized treatment plan that has unique qualities and meets your loved one's treatment needs. Call Sovereign Health at 866-224-7297. That's 866-224-7297. Or visit us online at sovhealth.com.
Nearly half of all Americans experience at least one mental illness at some point in their lives. Sovereign Health offers treatment programs for a large spectrum of issues, including depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, post-traumatic stress disorder, and eating disorders. Let us help you heal in a safe, nurturing environment with an individualized treatment plan that has your unique qualities and meets your treatment needs. Call Sovereign Health at 866-224-7297. That's 866-224-7297. Or visit us online at sovhealth.com.
Roughly 100 million Americans suffer from chronic pain. This problem is not only excruciating, but it also takes a hit on the individual's relationships with others. Here at Sovereign Health's Chronic Pain Program, our experts target and treat the underlying causes of the problem, while also helping our patients discover the best pain reduction methods that work for them. Let us help you heal. Call Sovereign Health at 866-764-6570. That's 866-764-6570. Or visit us online at sovhealth.com. Are you or a loved one suffering from an eating disorder? At Sovereign Health, we believe these are brain diseases that can strain people's lives, which should not define them. Let us help you heal in a safe, nurturing environment with an individualized treatment plan that has your unique qualities and meets your treatment needs. Call Sovereign Health at 866-764-6570. That's 866-764-6570. Or visit us online at sovhealth.com.
Welcome back to In Your Right Mind with Dr. Tanmoy Sharma. I'm Stephanie Wilder-Taylor. We've been talking with Dr. Jay Lombard, co-founder of GenoMind, and Dr. Stephen Stahl, internationally renowned psychiatrist, about the benefits of pharmacogenetic testing in the treatment of behavioral health conditions.
So what about acceptance of these testing amongst the population? The 2017 GenoMind mental health poll found that a majority, that 67% of Americans, were willing to take a genetic test to determine the best treatment plan for mental illness if recommended by a doctor. The disparity thus, you know, in the acceptance of genetic testing for mental health treatment is decreasing when compared to cancer, for example, which is at 76%, heart disease at 75%, and diabetes at 72%. Talking about adolescents again, most adolescents, or a lot of adolescents, present with, you know, symptoms that may be non-specific, and diagnosis might be an issue, so it's not that clear-cut. And I know that this is not to be used for diagnostic purposes, but I'm just wondering whether the therapeutic window, that is the difference between the blood level at which a drug is effective and the toxicity window, if you like, is narrower in or smaller in children and adolescents.
Yeah. Yes, and elderly patients as well, by the way. So it's both spectrum.
Both
in the very young. Very old, yes.
Dr. Stahl, this is right down your alley.
Well, as I tell my residents that are training with me, I'm not a child psychiatrist, but I'm a childish psychiatrist, which allows me to actually treat children. I actually do treat children and adolescents, and they're a different breed. Sometimes I also say, to the point that's being made here, to, again, my trainees, is you have to put your seatbelt on when you see a kid. And the reason for that is you'll fall out of your chair if you don't. And why would you fall out of your chair is because every time they come in, they've changed. And so the diagnoses really don't mean a whole lot, actually. And so what we've done to do is treat symptoms. And the symptoms may morph and change and get worse and go away, and a new one pops up. And that's why you fall out of your chairs, because you say in adults, you know, once you've got a diagnosis, it pretty much is stable. It gets better or worse, but it's not going to change. In kids, they have lots of symptoms that change all the time. So being aware of that and the fact that you have to be sensitive to that means that you need to know your symptoms and you need to know your medications. And the medications have to be known by the basis of both your experience as well as what is the research studies on how well they work and how well they're tolerated. And all of that can be enhanced increasingly by this genomic testing. In other words, who would ever say that more information is not more valuable than less information?
Right. So it's obviously important in adolescence. For people wanting to do this, is Dr. Lombard, maybe you can give us some idea as well from your perspective. Is this covered by insurance or is it entirely a private pay type of testing?
I think it's, quite frankly, it's really on a case-by-case basis. We have found that some insurances willingly cover it and others deny it outright. And I think that's because insurance companies generally, as a model, don't want to reimburse for anything that patients need, you know, let alone genetic testing. You know, there's a big problem that's like the psychiatric patients, unfortunately, experience, which is discrimination, against their right to be treated in the same way medically as any medical patient is. So for instance, insurance companies may approve for a pharmacokinetic test for cancer, or for you know, heart disease, and yet flat out reject it for psychiatric purposes, even though it's the same patient. So, you know, that's a problem that I think is systemic. And you know, to answer your question whether insurance is covered or not, you know, we've done a lot of research for insurance companies to show them that having the information that Dr. Stoll and I are talking about will ultimately save them a significant amount of cost on the back end of each patient. And even with that data, they are still unable to see that this is really a preventative approach to psychopharmacology to avoid adverse drug effects that are very expensive for the system. So if people have, you know, a cardiac arrhythmia, or do they develop Parkinson's or metabolic syndrome from a psychiatric drug? I mean, don't the insurance companies believe that avoiding those side effects will help them save money? I mean, I just don't understand the rationale as to why they would not cover something that is so obviously beneficial, not only to the patient, but also to insurance companies as well.
Agreed. If you're just tuning in right now, you're listening to In Your Right Mind, brought to you by Sovereign Health, and we're talking to Dr. Stephen Stahl and Dr. Jay Lombard about pharmacogenetic testing and why it's used.
One of the issues that we see in our facilities at Sovereign is that we have, that people don't quite understand what the testing is about. Somehow genetic testing takes on a much more morose or morbid feel to it. It has much more of that kind of feel to it, especially with the parents. They say, oh, are you going to do genetic tests on my kid?
Yeah.
So
let me take this question first, and then I'm going to actually hand over to Stoll as well. So I think that there's a lot of misconceptions about genetic testing that need to be slayed once and for all so that notion and that anxiety goes away forever. So the first is that none of these tests are diagnostic for any condition, okay? We don't have, if you get a genetic test, we are not going to tell you that your child is schizophrenic. The science behind being able to use biomarkers, like genetics, for diagnostic purposes is literally years and years away. So that's good news and bad news. It's good news because people need to understand that by getting genetic testing, we're not putting a label, a diagnostic label, on those patients saying that, oh, your son or daughter or you know, husband or wife, you know, has a a deterministic psychiatric diagnosis based upon genetics. We're not saying that at all. So that, I hope that allays people's fears about their misconceptions about what genetic testing can do and what it can't do. What it can do is help us to refine how we treat patients with psychiatric disorders. What it can't do, and what it's likely never to do, is to make a deterministic diagnosis about a psychiatric disorder.
Right. Of course, these are some of the same people who will happily pay money to a psychic, but then they don't want an actual medical test.
Right.
Dr. Stahl, your thoughts?
Right.
Well, I think there is a lot of discrimination against psychiatric disorders and their treatment, a lot of stigma. And the idea is that we should be able to treat these disorders the same as anything else. It's also true that the medications that are used, the new medicines, are discriminated against more in psychiatry than they are in any other field. So it's as though these insurance companies feel that our patients are disposable or neglectable and that they don't matter as much. And so that's an outrageous proposition that we should push back on hard and use tests and medications that are best for individual patients, because disorders can be quite devastating and the treatments can be quite wonderful. So that is the way of the future, and I think that it makes it more scientific the more information you have, and genomics is just at its infancy and is in the process of exploding with more and more useful information every day.
So taking that on and pushing that out by a few years, say the year is 2030, would you like to speculate as to what we might be able to do in terms of this kind of...
Can I go first?
Go ahead. Forward-looking statements.
Yes, I don't think we have to wait till 2030, but actually, you know what? I'll ask Dr. Stahl to go first with that question, because I think he has been a visionary with understanding the biology of the brain, and, you know, understanding how there is an emergence of biomarkers that will refine our biological understanding of these psychiatric diseases. And what we'll see, my predictor is, before I let Dr. Stahl answer the question, is we'll move away from DSM, which is a purely observational-based diagnosis, to something called RDoC, which was suggested by Thomas Insel when he was at NIMH, to really call these disorders what they are, which are biological diseases of the brain that have symptoms that are psychiatric, and why people are still dividing the mind-brain in a way that is so 19th century. You know? So with that, Dr. Stahl, I'll let you answer the question about 2030.
Yes, I agree with that. It seems like the brain is moving towards the idea that its disorders are in its brain circuits. And one circuit, if it doesn't work right, has a certain symptom, and another circuit, if it doesn't work right, is a different one. So you might have mood in one circuit, and you might have cognition or memory in another. And so the inefficiency of information processing is another way to put it. Actually, I'll give you a little scenario. My fantasy, you really want to know what it is?
Oh, we'd like to know your fantasies, Dr. Stahl, please.
Okay, my deep, dark fantasy about this is that I want to be, you ever watch the program CSI?
Oh, yes.
Yes,
absolutely.
And they kind of go and they investigate the scene of the crime,
mm-hmm.
and they take genetic testing and they, you know, the DNA databases. Well, my fantasy is that if I live so long, I'll be a CNSI, or Central Nervous System Investigator.
Uh-huh.
And what I'll do is investigate the scene of the crime, which is in your brain,
mm-hmm.
and you'll do neuroimaging and doing brain scans, and you'll do genomics, and you get blood levels, and you'll be able to then show that certain medications can tune the circuits. It's like when you have a symptom, it's like a guitar string that's out of tune. And if you give the right medication, it tunes it. And that's what we're really doing. And I think we'll have biological, if you will, ways to actually enhance the ability to select medications, those biological things being genomic testing, drug levels and brain scans. So when you see Gary Sinise, you know, giving a buccal swab to some criminal, or you see Horatio in CSI Miami doing that, that's what I want to do when I grow up.
Well, there's going to be a movie about this very soon, and Keanu Reeves is going to play you.
On that high note.
Yes. Unfortunately,
yeah, he's better looking at Dr. Stahl, though.
This is a...
But if I could just say, that's before 2030. The image that Dr. Stahl sees himself being as a CSI neuroscientist is not... It's not 2030. It's really 2020.
Well, that's coming right up. This was so super fascinating, you guys, but unfortunately, that's all the time that we have. But thank everybody out there so much for listening, and thank you to our guests, Dr. Jay Lombard. Thank you, Jay, and Dr. Stephen Stahl. You guys were excellent, excellent guests. And thank you, Dr. Sharma.
Well, thank you.
And don't forget to tune in next Sunday at 5 p.m. for a new episode of In Your Right Mind. And if you like what you hear, you can download this edition as a podcast by going to iTunes or visit inyourrightmind.com to hear this show or previous broadcasts of In Your Right Mind on demand. We will see you next week.
Good night.
This show furnished by Dual Diagnosis Treatment Center.